Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. I had a great practice weekend.
Did you? Well, good. I'm so glad. I did too.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, the only thing I would ask you, Michael, is I just heard from somebody who had trouble hearing in the workshop. Did you have any of that?
No, not really.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, I could hear everybody, I think.
Good. All right, good. That's then good. You know, I mean, God knows I have enough, technological difficulties. So I'm always relieved when it's, you know, it's not a global kind of thing. And, you know, yeah. Everybody missed it, the workshop, but we didn't know it. It just kept going on as if, you know, as if it was working, you know, that feeling.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, good. Good, good, good.
And it was great to revisit that book. Fabulous one.
That little book, that very, very dear and sweet little book, huh? Yeah.
Yes.
It's an old friend.
Yeah, I had forgotten about the dedication at the front to the woman who died. I'm forgetting her name in this moment.
Sylvia?
Sylvia, yeah, who was practicing with you and working on that.
Yeah, that was a profound time for all of us. And, you know, of course, we are so, I know personally, I feel this, and I know the people I'm going to refer to also do. So many people who were there then are still in practice. It was a pivotal time for all of us to be so involved in the dying of somebody who is so much a part of the beginnings of the Zen Center. So it's wonderful to recall her.
Wonderful.
And her contribution.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of announcements here to start us off.
All right.
If you are relatively new to practice, or if you are an experienced practitioner and want to deepen your understanding of the foundational principles of practice, we have a year-long retreat for you. Our Beginner's Mind Retreat runs January 11th through November 15th and includes Sunday workshops exploring such terms and practices as directing attention, karmic conditioning, mentoring, and interviewing. A quarterly payment plan is available. And the deadline to register is this Friday at 12 noon Pacific.
I love that. And I'll tell you why. Because Ashwini and I just spent the day today doing the first module of that retreat. And I got to say, it's fun. It's good.
Great. I can't wait.
Yeah. I know. I know. And I'm so eager to do it for people to participate, and then for those you know, where we all get together and get to talk about all of the insights, which is, I would say, for all of us, our favorite part of practice. And so we're going to have a lot of opportunities to do that. Good.
Great. And if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And twice a month, Yoga for Sangha sends out yoga videos grounded in the themes of awareness practice and especially designed for Sangha. The videos include movement options to accommodate all levels. Mm-hmm. A new quarter of this popular offering begins January 15th. All proceeds will be donated to Living Compassion in Cantalumba, and the deadline to register is January 14th.
Mm-hmm. It's very generous, and and a wonderful offering.
Yes, fabulous.
Yeah.
And for these and other exciting practice opportunities, check out our 2026 practice calendar, now posted at livingcompassion.org. And it is extraordinary. I was just looking over it again the other day. I was like, wow, that email goes on and on and on.
Yeah. I was laughing about, I don't know if we talked about it, but I was laughing with somebody about the fact that there's all this stuff. And then down at the end, you know, there's this whole list of what, you know, we could think of as the kind of the basics of practice, and they're not even highlighted. So,
Yeah.
We're going to do up 2026 proud, by golly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a few reminders, if you'd like to get in the queue tonight to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is fabulous.
It's the best.
Here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Brad. Can you hear me?
Hey, Brad.
Yeah. Hey, 1 second. You know, it's always so it's so jarring when I get on the show. I push the wrong button, and it says I've been removed from the queue, and then I panic that I can't talk to you guys. But no, fortunately, I've managed to stay in the on the line.
Okay.
I just wanted to say hi. I feel like December, towards the end of it, kind of at least pulled me away from Sangha. Although I've been doing my own stuff here, I feel like, you know, it's just, I felt a little distant from it with, you know, with the Western holidays and taking care of the kids and everything else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I just wanted to say hi, because I have my kids tonight, but I had a rare instance of where I could get on for the live show.
Oh,
and,
good.
Another thing I wanted to mention to you is, you know, I've never had a chance before previously to make a donation for Cantalamba, and my karmic tendency is always to pull me away from some of the other stuff that Sangha is doing, and I'm like, well, I have the money, it's been suggested what would be a nice amount, and I can do that this year, so I just did it, and it was like,
oh,
ego didn't
you.
Have a chance to say much more about it, you know, it's just like,
uh-huh.
off it went, you know.
Strike while the iron is hot, I think is the expression. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I couldn't think of a better way to spread some of at least what I have now in my life, and I can't think of a better cause, and for people that I have such faith in terms of what they'll do with that money. So I was delighted to do it. So.
Oh, that's
anyway.
Good. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure you saw the, you know, my little note to folks at the end of the year, and I mean, what's happening there is just extraordinary, and it's because, of course, of people like you, who you know, who want to make that kind of difference in the life of somebody they don't even know, and that's how all of that happens, and it's glorious. I mean, just the we don't need to talk about it all now, but just some of the things that I was recalling when I was writing that, you know, what it was like there 20 years ago and what their lives are like now.
Yeah, and what you've done, just, what you've transformed it into, that's what's amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
you know?
And what it's what they've done. It's what they've done with the resources that we could provide them. You know,
they're
such a great partnership, because we do have the wherewithal here in this country, and in other countries, you know, we have people donating, supporting that project from all over the world. And so we have the resources, and that's the thing they don't have. They have the willingness, the desire, the sincerity, the love, the passion, all of those things. So we put those two together, and glorious things happen for people who just really sweet people who just need a little bit of assistance to get through the day. You know, well, you have your kids. You know, you know, it's not a You don't have to go very far to imagine what it would be like if they didn't have enough to eat.
And, you know, there are chances with my job, which is in the federal sector, to make those type of contributions. But in terms of doing it for a group particularly that has been so supportive of me to then help out to people that they're helping other people, I just thought it was a good thing, you know?
Yeah. It has a wonderful circular kind of, you know, you feel good, we feel good, they feel good, you feel good. You know,
One last question before I let you go. With the annual retreat, is it not going to be Monday through Friday? It's just in these certain weekends?
No. It's two retreats. So we have this beginner's mind retreat, mm-hmm. Which, as Michael was saying, you know, we're going to cover all of the kinds of things that we talk about all the time. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have never actually been through a direct experience of what it is that we're talking about, and so that's what that one is. And that's the one that I was Sweeney and I were working on today.
Okay.
And because it starts
January 11th.
Yeah. And so that one's starting. Then the year long. We'll start again. I think it's in March.
Okay, great. I was just curious. Yeah, just because it, again, with the kids, it's hard a lot of times to make some of the weekend events. But
yes, yeah, you know, the year long, same format, Monday through Friday, and and the you know, whatever our theme is going to be, which of course is still very mysterious, but the same thing. Ashwini will write those brilliant assignments for us, and we'll all do the work, and then we'll gather every day to talk about it.
Awesome. Well, I just wanted to say hi. It was nice to hear your
voice.
Well,
good to hear from you.
And to think of everyone else in Sangha. I wish you well with the new year, and we'll be talking soon.
And you. And hope to see you in the new year.
I hope so, too. Yeah, you got it.
Good.
Gassho.
All right. Take care. Gassho.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Brad. And let me find our next caller here, Sherry. All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Melissa. I was actually in the queue for the good news part of this.
Oh.
I wasn't sure how this was supposed to work.
Oops.
My apologies.
Oops.
We'll come back to you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. That explains a few things to me, so that's good there.
Oh, that's what that meant. All right, here we go.
That name. Okay, good. All right. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Margaret.
Hey, Margaret.
Hey.
Hey, yeah.
I just wanted to get online because I didn't make it when I was doing the workshop this weekend. I didn't get called on, but I enjoyed it so much. And
oh, I'm glad.
These coughing fits during it, and I thought I'd cured that cough, but it's still here, just a little. And I wanted to just say how much that that workshop was so, and the book, reading the book. The whole book again, and with Sylvia and all, it was really life changing. I would say.
Or, well, you know, Margaret, that's all we ask, right? All we ask.
That's all we ask. Remembering and and it resonated with how I've been feeling, like. Just love is everything. I mean, it's all we really need. I guess, is that the Beatles that said that love is all?
Yeah, love is all you need.
Anyway, I'm just really happy, and that made me happier. It actually, you know, it's it's. I guess one of the processes I'm doing is noticing. Just right away, pretty much, when something is coming in, someone's you know, I'm hearing this voice telling me that I'm not happy or that something's wrong with that. And I just snap too, kind of right away.
Now, wrong.
Yeah, no.
Untrue.
Untrue. This is not what we're going to be doing here today.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's.
Well, and isn't that fascinating, Margaret, to have practice get to the point where you see those messages come in like that and realize that's not true. That's not my experience.
Yeah.
I mean, think if you weren't paying close enough attention, you weren't present enough, that message would come in and you'd believe it. That's what happens to people all the time. Yeah.
That's absolutely true, and I could really go back to my beginning practice where I would, here's one of those cases where I wouldn't wake up for a week or so to what was said to me, you know, like, it's Tuesday night again, or Monday night back then, and I'm going to go to practice, and, oh, I'm so tired, I just don't think I could go, and then I go anyway for some unknown reason. I just go get in the car and go.
You would be spirited over there.
That's right. And when I walk out the door, it's like I'm so happy. This is so amazing. I love this work. I can't imagine not coming. And then I still have to connect that with what was said to me, you know, quite a while before about, you know, not realizing or not remembering how good it was the week before.
Yes. Yeah. 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 And, yeah. It's an astonishing process. We kid about the, you know, start waving my imaginary pocket watch in front of people. You know, you're getting very sleepy. You're getting very, but that's what it feels like. You know, I'm there. I see it. It's great. I'm transformed. I'm disidentified. And then in a week, I can't remember any of that. And I'm just tired and I don't feel like it and I really don't want to. But
there's
then,
so many
as you
things
say,
to do. Yeah.
Oh, just so that, many important things to do. I've got to fold the laundry and worry about some stuff. And yeah. And yet, as you say, miraculously, we find ourselves there, and in spite of what the ego voices are trying to do to us, and we can just keep showing up, and then after a while, it's not that hard. In fact,
right.
We remember that. Oh no, I really do like that. I really do
yeah,
want to do that.
I do, and I'm doing it for everyone else there too. I'm showing up for them because I'm aware of what they're going through. And
Well, that's good. Well, thank you for that. Talk about the people who were there at the beginning, huh?
Yeah. and I might in fact, I'm wanting to do the beginning one again. So
yeah. Well, and it was dropping in as you were talking about that, going there, and I was thinking of the old Zen Center and what that was like and how different it was before all of the virtual. I mean, we had to drive across town to get there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only, either we got together in person or it didn't happen. And it was very dear, really.
You know, that's true. Yeah. And that was really dear. And I remember the night when you and Michael and a whole bunch of Sangha went to Stanford University, I think it was, for the where we did the first online or first, you know, open air.
Yeah.
It became open air.
Back in that little basement at Stanford. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yes. Well, thank
good
you
times.
So much. And,
all right.
And you
thank
and Ashwini,
you, Margaret.
Very looking forward to this year very much.
Yeah, me too. We're going to make it the best year we can make it. That's for darn sure.
As always.
Always. All right. Thank
Got
you.
Show.
Go happy.
Got
Go show.
Happy.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. And that took me back a few years, Sherry.
Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was a different world. It was just so different. Yeah. And mm-hmm. there's lots to be said for now, but mm-hmm. there was lots to be said for then, too.
Same practice. Yeah. That's what I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pasha from San Francisco. I can't believe my luck.
We just got to talk to you, didn't we? Not that long ago. Yeah.
Yes.
What's going on?
I will be very brief. Still the insights from the retreat and seeing that how when I place my eyes into what's the expression, eyes on the prize?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But conditioning always points me to the prize, like far, far away, that is unreachable enough, but captivating. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm getting mesmerized, like, you know, like in those what are those shows when they hypnotize people?
Yes, I'm waving my watch. You're
yes.
getting very
yes.
sleepy.
Yes.
yeah.
And that's what gets me going, gets me motivated in quotes, and gets me into the kind of game of conditioning. I start to believe it. I'm following my goal, and
yeah.
I'm going there. But mm-hmm. As I see over many years, it's always moving, unreachable illusion that is projected far away. And
it
does,
like a mirage.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. And on the retreat, I just got there. I got to my goal.
yeah,
I was,
sitting right there, right there in your own little house, right? And you're just there in all the happiness that you could ever hope to have, yeah.
Yeah, I just like received the Nobel Prize in physics. I was elated and so receiving it that receiving what I'm conditioning always promised but never delivered. And here I was delivered everything. And as we were doing this guided imagery, the smile on my face, it just like gets there. I cannot, like, I'm like, wow, I'm smiling and I cannot stop smiling.
And I don't want to. I like smiling. Yeah, I like being this happy. Yeah.
And
Pasha, you know, part of it that we can all have sympathy for ourselves and one another is, as Margaret was saying, and then we can still fall asleep, or as you say, we can still get bamboozled, hypnotized into forgetting, which is why we need to stick together.
Yes, yes, but also that experience is. I also have recordings of it, and I have that sensation in my body, and I'm just like next day going around and remind myself, oh, the Nobel Prize, boom, and it's here.
Yeah, I'm the winner. Yes,
yes,
I'm the recipient. Yeah.
Yes, and also
wonderful.
I get the sense of that human that is inside. There is a human inside of me, and when I stop thinking, I'm kind of landing on that human, and I'm feeling him, and I'm sensing him, and I don't need the conversation. Who am I? I'm with the one we can call it the I, but it's right there. It fills my body again. And as I speak right now, I feel sensations in my toes, in the tip of my fingers. Mm. It's very fulfilling. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I love it. You talked me right there, Pasha. I went right with you.
Yeah, it's glorious.
We'll stay together.
Yeah. All right. Sure. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So happy.
Thanks for joining us, Basha. That was fabulous. And Sherry, now it's time for Good News Update. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back and talk more callers.
All right. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And Jen, your guest is now live for Good News Update, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Very good, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Melissa, who is here to speak with us about her experience of the That Which You Are Seeking Is Causing You to Seek practice weekend. Welcome, Melissa.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So it sounds like other folks were also had an amazing transformative weekend. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience.
Sure. Yeah, I felt like it was, I guess I can compare this because this year I went to two other in-person retreats, and then this was a virtual retreat. And I felt like it was so impactful, like the in-person retreats I went to. And I think what's really impactful about in-person retreats for me is that I get in a very different place, like neurologically. And so I'm able, just kind of like what another caller was saying, to get into, feel that place, a different place than conditioned mind. And I feel like the way this retreat, this virtual retreat was done, I was really able to do that because there were so many recordings that we did about different segments of the book. And they were just really done in an order and with different concepts that really were able to put me into a place that was not conditioning.
Yeah. That's beautifully put, and very much my experience as well, that it really was it laid out so well that it really took us through an experience. And that's really high praise, because I'm right with you, Melissa, that in-person retreats really do take us to a place. I mean, all practice does, really. I mean, that's sort of the framework, is we go to, well, we don't go to a place, we stay here, which we're so conditioned not to do.
Right.
We're training to be here, and it can be more challenging to really drop into that place in a virtual setting. And so that's beautifully articulated, that the retreat, the weekend retreat, was really laid out to assist us to be in that place.
Yeah. And I also thought, I felt like what was really neat about it was, you know, I've definitely read other books by Sherry, and doing this retreat as this book in the context of a retreat was a really different experience, because I felt like the different recordings and stuff, like, they really helped me kind of savor different parts of the book and that I would not have spent as much time on, and really explored to the extent that this virtual retreat had me exploring stuff. So I just feel like I got so much more out of the book doing it as a retreat.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You remind me that I found myself going back to some of the passages in the book after the weekend to really, because it did feel that way, that there's not only the exercise itself, so there's sort of these layers to it, right? There's the exercise that takes us through a particular section of the book. Then there's the invitation. We made our own recording about it. And then hearing from other Sangha, you know, sort of what they were saying and the facilitation around all of that, that were sort of these layers of deepening each of those passages.
Yes. And I think the other really cool thing that I noticed about this virtual experience was it felt like it wasn't just me having this a touching into, for me it was really this area of compassion inside myself that was seeking me and I was seeking, but I felt like we kind of progressed as a whole group.
Yeah.
And we were able to see that because of everybody calling in and telling about their experience. But it just felt like more like we were a big glob moving through this space than a lot of, you know, than ever before I've experienced with the Sangha.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, Melissa, you're reminding me, I sort of putting something together that I hadn't quite articulated for myself, but I'm really excited about the Beginner's Mind Retreat coming up. And I think you put your finger on it because it feels like that, especially, I mean, certainly for folks who are encountering practice, you know, for new, fairly new to practice, but especially for those of us who have been practicing for a while, that there can be these places where, I know that, without even realizing it. But in the same way you're describing that we go through the passages of a book, you know, that which you are seeking is causing you to seek, and actually have the experience that the book is pointing to and get to encounter that, you know, really in some ways for the first time in that sense of beginner's mind, where when you're fully present to encountering it, in some sense, you are encountering it for the first time. And that is kind of that beginner's mind experience. I really, as you were describing it, that it really took me there.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like I walked away from that retreat being able to sense a whole different place in myself than I ever had before that I can carry forward and get back to.
Yeah, well, just like that last caller was pointing at, very similar, that really touching into that place and then being able to practice being there, staying there. And then watching ourselves get pulled off and reminding ourselves, I know that place, going back to that place, touching back into that place.
Yes, definitely. You know, and listening to the recordings that we made afterwards has been really helpful too, because it helps put me back to the, as I felt during the retreat.
Yeah, so helpful to have the recordings that really, to hear literally the place that we're speaking from as we're having the experience and get to touch back into that by listening to our own voice.
Yeah. And I felt like the recordings, you know, they started with like going back and looking at your whole journey and why how with the evidence of how you've been willing and why you haven't quit and all of that, like, gave like some sort of, it wasn't a point in time. It was like, this is a long journey that I've been on. And I don't often think of it that way.
Yeah. And so clear that from the start, that kind of, just like you described a few minutes ago, that seeking and being sought was there right from the very start. Otherwise I wouldn't be here. I would never have started this.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, what a gift.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to talk about your experience.
Well, thank you. Gesho.
All right. Gesho. Go happy. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Melissa. My cue is jumping here. Hold on a second. Okay, got that. All right, and there's Sherry Huber. Welcome back to Open Air.
I have a new favorite thing.
Tell me.
That is that Sangha is a glob of compassionate awareness.
Great.
Isn't that great? We're just one great big glob of compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it feels like. Just kind of moving along. Moving along together. And I like that image because whatever we run into, you know, you just kind of either we incorporate it, it joins us, or we just kind of slide around it and just keep on going down the path.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling along. And that idea, you know, that feeling of that we really are doing this together. I think that became, I don't know, so much people's experience or what people talk about with the year long, you know, that it just feels like Sangha is just sort of, taking each step together. And that's what this last weekend felt like. And so I like that image.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you know, we talk with each other so often that that's where I get the sense of it. You know, there's all this continuity. We're talking every day, and when I'm not listening to a live show, I'm listening to Open Air Archives or my own recordings. Mm-hmm. There's a real sense of immersion.
Yeah. So if you wanted to learn Swahili, you would want to, the way to do it is to immerse yourself. It's like the kids in Cantalomba learning English, right?
Yes.
So we have them in schools now where it's an immersion, right? Because otherwise it's too hard. If you go to school for whatever period of time during the day and then everybody around you is speaking another language that you've been speaking since you were a tiny baby, it's really hard to get anywhere with it. But if everybody around you is speaking the language that you're intent on learning, then there. And that's so much what it's like with Sangha. If we spend, you know, a few minutes every day, either recording and listening or meditating or whatever it is, and the rest of the day and night is filled with egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, well, it's not going to happen for us. But if we immerse ourselves in it and we're constantly being reminded and bolstered by other people's experience and knowing that everybody's experiencing what I, you know, the voices can't tell me there's something wrong with me or at least there's something wrong with everybody. And so if something wrong with everybody, can it really be wrong? It moves us so quickly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Liesl from New Hampshire.
Hey, Liesl.
Hi.
I'm not used to talking to you at this time of day.
I know. I'm not usually able to make the time, but I have my reflecting listening buddy call at 9, and I thought, well, I need to make the time.
Just make it a big practice evening.
A big
Why not?
Immerse myself.
Immerse. There you go.
I really like that word, like a sangha, compassion, immersion. Like, that sounds lovely. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'm mostly feeling called to participate, to express gratitude for the workshop this weekend where I didn't share and wanted to take the opportunity to do that.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you for that. You know,
it's
true. We wish we could have heard from everybody, but we were, our big problem was we had a lot of Sangha.
I know. And I also.
It was fabulous.
It was fabulous. But I did not put myself in the queue because I was
that makes it harder
out
for
of doing that. So that was not the issue. So, but tonight I'm here.
Good.
And so, yes.
Yeah. So what's going on? That's what I
want
to know.
Yeah. So, it really assisted me in making kind of a profound shift in terms of kind of this workshop that I've been in with my child. And I thought I was in a place of acceptance of her and of what was going on, and I got to see that there were still a lot of barriers to that. And that there was still a large part of me trying to control the experience and, like, sort of not wanting to be so what is so. And so for me at the end, when we, you know, were looking to a particular passage that really resonated for us that we were going to practice with, it was the, I don't know if I'll say it right, but letting go is opening the hand, and then acceptance is what the open hand receives.
And it's really hard, isn't it?
It is. And
I mean, just to acknowledge that, you know,
yeah,
when it's our child, it's really, really hard. That, you know, that old thing about having a child is having your heart walk around outside your body.
Yeah,
and
true.
And every parent knows knows exactly that. Yeah, and then, you know, you also know that there's only so much you can do, and that
right.
so much of what you have to face is what's going on in you, and make peace with that, and somehow be all right with what you're able to offer and what may or may not be received, and no control over what happens.
Yeah, and I think, like, that this weekend really assisted me in, like, you know, there's a difference, right, where you say something in your head versus, like, your body is having an energetic experience of it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, for me, like, opening the hand to receive, like, also is like opening my arms to embrace and opening my heart, like, to guide me. And so there's something about that energetically that I've just really been practicing with, and like the energetic experience of that is somehow so peaceful, even though nothing has changed.
Right. Well, yeah, and I don't know if this is your experience, so if I'm just projecting wildly, you can tell me. But, you know, we, on a certain level, we know that that's the answer. Right? We know to be open-hearted and embracing and letting go, that that's the best for us and everybody else. And that's that place where I get to, and it's really scary because it feels like being so vulnerable that if, you know, if, at least if we're clenched a little, we feel somewhat defended. But when we just let go and open like that, then we know we have no defenses. And yet what we have is unconditional love. Which,
yeah,
we would much rather have than defensiveness.
Yeah, and there's something about that open hand and open heart and open arms that there's something, I don't know, something that I touched into this weekend that it doesn't feel scary. It somehow feels like, the weight of this thing is being carried not just by me, alone.
Yes. Yes. Which we could never see when we're behind that, held behind that fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to control. We just,
yeah.
We can't have that experience.
Yeah.
But the only safe place, if there is such a thing, is in unconditional love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, just I'm very grateful for that experience and grateful for the increased sense of ease that I'm feeling, because I know that that's only going to assist my ability to be with this situation in a kind and loving way.
Yes. And you have, as was mentioned earlier, you have those recordings.
Yes.
You have those insights captured. So, and you know where those places are in your body.
Right.
And you can touch back into those and they will be there for you.
That's right. I think we said a lot this weekend, like, you know it, you can't unknow it. So,
I felt
it. You can't unfeel it. Like, your body's had that experience. And so much gratitude.
I'm so glad.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you.
Yes.
Go happy.
Go happy. Gotcha. Yes. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thanks for joining us, Liesl. And Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tim from the Bay Area.
Hey, Tim.
Hey. So conditioning doesn't want to be here. I'm clear on that.
Good.
Willingness.
And we don't really care. We don't really care, do we? Because we really don't want conditioning to be here either. So there.
Yeah, it's like, there is a willingness, there's a deep awareness and observation of suffering that has been happening around the voices and about being in constant conversation. And the voices continued of like, well, you better be able to like articulate, you know, this, getting on the air so you're not wasting anybody's time. But that's really what's going on, you know. I'm like, well, willingness, thankfully, is like press that button and stay on the call. And despite conditioning going, oh, thank God they didn't pick us, you know, every time. Just going, well, staying on the call, staying here, going to get on and tell the truth, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so right there in that, Tim. I mean, it's got you on one side, it slaps you on one side, and then it slaps you on the other side, and then it slaps you on the right. I mean, you can't get on the call. Don't get on. You have to, if you're going to be on there, you need to articulate this perfectly so you don't waste anybody's time. Don't get on. Don't get on. Yeah, but you need to get on because you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I have experience in our practice, like I'm so invested in being identified that I can't possibly let it go in a moment, but I have experience letting that possibility being there.
Yes,
like, I have that.
Not just a possibility, but an actual real experience. You know the experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do know that experience. But man, my experience is I'm just getting hammered from all sides. And it's like with everything and it feels really real. And we've had some content like, our catalytic converter got stolen out of our car in our driveway. And my son needs more stuff done in the insurance companies and money, and I'm not working right now, and you can guess the rest.
Yeah.
You can guess the rest, right? And it feels really worse. And it's like
miserable.
Right. And I'm on this call and I'm in the queue, but you know, I should hop onto CNN and just check in with the world. Just check in. You know, there's a lot of drama and I should just check in to be informed, because being informed, but I know that it's like an extra it's an extra like crushing down on, and I'm just in the thick of it. I'm just being hit by it, and I forgot what to do. And so I'm here, you know.
And then you remembered.
Yes,
you did, because you're here, in spite of everything that those voices are trying to do to you. And so, Tim, what is your experience of this kind of thing? I mean, you've been around a while. You've got a marriage, you've got kids, you've got bills, you've got stuff. What's your experience with it? Is this it? Are you doomed now? This is the one time that you're not going to survive, and
So my experience is there at various times there's, well, what dropped in when you said that was there's always something to be held ransom for. Like there's always some piece that you can be, and that changes over time. When I was a kid and when I was a teenager, I was held ransom over certain content, certain things, certain people liking me, certain people not liking me, that type of thing, right? And what I've observed is over time that type of content just changes, but the intention to hold me for ransom does not change.
That's exactly right.
That intention or that like mechanism, the way that it works, it works the same. And it's like, I can't tell if like the world is necessarily any worse a place than it's always been. It's just that there are, I guess my experience is it just kind of found some ways in. You know, it does what it does.
And if we so I was reading something about somebody was talking about the economy and having survived the nightmare years of Joe Biden's presidency. Which I think is kind of funny because, of course, you know, we had the pandemic and everything fell apart. And then we came back out of that. And, so remember the pandemic? And then before that, we had, of course, the economic, when the housing collapsed, the housing bubble burst. And we had that. And then before that, we had... And those are the kind of big things that are going on, in our country, and there are things like that all over the world, of course, and so then there's what's happening personally with us in our own home, in our own family, in our own whatever it is, and if we could look back over those things, I think we would quickly see what I think you're closing in on, which is there's always something. As one of my spiritual heroes pointed out, yes, it's really true. It is one damn thing after another. That's what life is like. It's just a constant series of ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. And we have been conditioned to believe that shouldn't be that way. Right? And so we have to feel bad when it is that way rather than, this is bad, and it's one of these days it's going to be better, and then it's going to be good, and then it's going to be not so good, and then it's going to be bad, and then because that's how the content of life works.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But what doesn't have to happen, as you were saying, is for us to be held hostage by that that we are constantly being trained to look at what's wrong and then make that be global, right? So this is how it is. It's always going to be this way. There's nothing, we're probably not going to survive. It's awful. It's always going to be awful. It's my fault. I need to do something about it. I don't know what to do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. I just have to suffer.
Yeah.
That's the part that's not true.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wants to say, well, how can you be joyful, when all this there could be civil war, You know, there could be this country could be torn apart. It could be this.
Yes.
How can you dare be joyful?
Well, I can give you some examples.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you some examples of how. Do you have enough food to eat today?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay.
I do.
And are you basically healthy?
I am. I got back from the gym.
And I even worked out.
Yeah.
From the gym. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And your wife, she's good.
Yep. Yep.
And your kids? Your kids are okay. Your boy needs some extra attention, but he'll get it.
Yes.
Right? And they're both pretty intelligent and making their way through school.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Got a roof over your head. Got a car in the driveway, even though it doesn't have a catalytic converter at the time.
I do. And even that got fixed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And there we are.
Yes.
Yeah, there we are. That's how we can be joyful.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. So this is a war for my attention. This is a war for my attention. That's exactly right.
That is beautifully stated, Tim. That is exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And only you can choose to win that war.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because ego's never going to do anything else but what it does. It's there to get the attention and get the emotion, get that juice that it needs. And so it's 100% devoted to about 150% devoted to that.
Yeah.
And we have to be as devoted to having the life we choose to have, which, as you've just pointed out, means you have to have your attention where you want your attention to be.
Yeah, I wanted to say, last night it was bedtime, and it was, I had what I labeled as anxiety with all this. And you know, a couple of years ago, we really looked at that. And it was kind of divine intervention, because honestly, I went on the Living Compassion website to look at the plethora of offerings. And I kind of found the page, which was an archive of the anxiety workshop. Like, I found it. I'm like, what's this link? And I downloaded the kind of the archive and listened to it. And kind of the guidance was to, because, you know, there was the story about the woman with the snakes and the snakes on her body. Mm-hmm. And it's like, look at each snake. Identify each snake. What color is the snakes? What are they doing? What's the relationship of that? And it's like, whoa, you know, conditioning is like, I could see in a minute, or I could see in that moment, that there was sort of this willingness to not do that, right? The willingness to focus on what conditioning, all the stories it was throwing at me. Can I be willing to pick one and just like be, this is my attention, this is my focus, and kind of wanted to put a shout out for that, because
And Tim, that is the sheerest proof that we are cared for. Okay, because we could, you know, breadcrumbs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It dropped in for you what to do to take care of yourself, and you did it. You did it, and you were guided to, right? The next breadcrumb is a link, and there is that. And you did that work, and it made a difference for you.
Mm-hmm. It did.
That we can always trust.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it can sound, you know, a little masochistic or just flat out crazy to look at something like that in terms of you have a tendency to feel anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's one of the places that, I mean, you're certainly not alone in that. God knows, as human beings, as conditioned human beings, that's what happens. We're made to feel anxious. You know, that's why we had that T-shirt: "Worry is not preparation," right? Because it's such a deal, right? And the more stuff that goes on, and the more something goes on, and the more stuff that goes on, and the anxiety grows, and blah 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 blah. Now, what is going to get you beyond that? What is going to get you to a place of peace and freedom? Well, it's confronting that and confronting it until finally you break through to the other side of it and you are free of it.
Yes. Yeah.
So it can sound a little perverse to say, and it's a gift.
Yeah.
But when we consider, I'm going to break through this and I'm going to be free of it, versus I'm going to live in this level of anxiety worsening every day of my life until I die of old age, I'm going to take the big breakthrough now. As bad as it gets, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to get to the other side of this. I'm going to be free of this anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the way of transformation. You know, one of my favorite pieces that I was introduced to through this practice, and that's a living, and you know, you ask my experience, and I'm like, this is my experience. I kind of go along, things are good, and then it's like, I find myself in these places of like, I have been forsaken, and then I kind of do the work, and I get like found again. And then
that's right. Oh, yeah. I stopped forsaking me.
Yeah. And this just, yes, this is actually, this tracks. And
Yeah. And we do it until it just becomes, it's not a deal. It's just, it's like, oh yeah, there's another hole. Yeah, God stepped in that one. Okay, well, I know the way out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well, thank you, Tim. I'm looking
thank
forward
you,
to
thank
another
you,
great
thank you.
Okay, Gasho.
Yeah, all right, Gasho.
Thanks for joining us, Tim. And wow, Sherry, that was fantastic. Loved that conversation.
Yeah, me too, Michael. Me too. I needed that.
Me too.
Yeah.
We are at the top of the hour, so thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, thank you, everyone. Go happy.
Go happy.